attempt to complete text 3 today. Yesterday, in the starting of text 3, we heard about the principle that there are different ways that one can develop his Krishna consciousness. And these ways are called Krishna Anusilanam, which means the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So there's a direct way and there are indirect ways of cultivating Krishna consciousness. And the direct way springs from association with devotees. And the essence of the cultivation that will come from association with devotees is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, etc. That one engages in the direct practices of devotional service. And this is all done under the guidance of one's spiritual masters. Knowing the value of devotional service, and Prabhupada begins to explain in the purport, that one should have utsahan, or enthusiasm, in prosecuting his devotional service. Then, Prabhupada explained, if you remember, that enthusiasm can be used in Krishna's service to engage more or less everything in Krishna's service, because everything is Krishna's energy. And the energy, the Shakti, should be engaged in the service of Shaktiman, the source or possessor of the Shakti. And in executing enthusiastically devotional service, to balance that, one must have patience. And as we'll find out, one also should have confidence. Now, what's the word for confidence?
Nishchaya.
And patience? Darya. These words, if we can keep them in the foreground of our memory, be able to call on them when we need them, in trying to understand how to prosecute our own devotional service properly, and will help us in our preaching. So, on page 33, we'll begin C. Now, this part explains tat-tat karma pravartana, and later on sangha tyaga satovite. So in other words, the way Prabhupada is proceeding in the purport, first he's explaining how Krishna consciousness is a cultivation activity, and then it should be done enthusiastically. The activity should be done enthusiastically, with confidence, with patience. Those are the first three. Then tat-tat karma pravartana, accepting those activities that develop, or those rules and regulations that develop one's Krishna consciousness. And then sangha tyaga satovritte. That will also be explained one after another. So first, tat-tat karma pavartana. Prabhupada explains that we should not be idle, but we should be very enthusiastic about executing the regulative principles. That's tat-tat karma pavartana. Neglect of the regulative principles will destroy devotional service. No one should think that they are so advanced that they don't have to follow the rules and regulations anymore. This thinking is maya. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it's explained clearly that if one is sakam, or has material desires, the way to purify those desires by cultivating detachment and knowledge, one follows the regulations, follows the authority of Shastra, of the Vedas. And then, after becoming purified, after following, just by the process of engaging in these activities under the authority of the Shastra, then one gets knowledge and one gets detached. But it is not that when one gets knowledge and detachment, one stops following the rules and regulations. But rather, his reason for following them becomes different. Instead of following them to gain something, One follows the rules and regulations to set a good example for others. And Prabhupada, the verses explain that if one renounces his prescribed duties without being purified by knowledge, the result will be worse, much worse. And practically speaking, the hippies of the 60s appeared miraculously because they renounced prescribed duties but without knowledge. And what did they end up doing? Just in engaging in the lowest of tamasic activities. So therefore, to set the good example for those who don't yet have knowledge, one should still follow the rules and regulations. And this is the basic message of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada, with knowledge or without knowledge, one should follow the rules and regulations. Or before one has knowledge and even after one has knowledge. And what of are those? Prabhupada explains, tat-tat karma pavartana, that one should follow them. And that is called Vaidhi Bhakti or Sadhana Bhakti. Sadhana means practice. Sadhya means the goal. So by practice, the goal is achieved of Krishna consciousness. So again, here Abhideya Tattva is being explained, or the practices that bring about our Krishna consciousness. In chapter 22 of Madhya Lila, in the teachings to Sanatana Goswami, the actual definition of sadhana bhakti is described. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya, which is to be, kriti sadhya means which is to be executed by the senses, bhavet, should be. Sadhya bhava, by which love of Godhead is acquired. Sadhana bhida, that called sadhana bhakti or devotional service and practice. Nityasiddhasya bhavasya, which is eternally present of love of God. Prakritam riddhis sadhyata, the awakening in the heart from potentiality. So this means, or the translation, when transcendental devotional service by which love for Krishna is attained, is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service and practice. So this is the purpose of performing sadhana, to get this sadhya, this goal of awakening what is eternally existing, Krishna Prem. Prabhupada explains in the purport. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Because living entities are minute atomic part and parcels of the Lord, devotional service is already present within them in a dormant condition. Devotional service begins with Shravana Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. When a man is sleeping, he can be awakened by sound vibration. Therefore, every conditioned soul should be given the chance to hear the Hare Krishna mantra chanted by a pure Vaishnava. One who hears the Hare Krishna mantra thus vibrated is awakened to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. In this way, one's mind gradually becomes purified, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. When the mind is purified, the senses are also purified. Instead of using the senses for sense gratification, the awakened devotee employs the senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is the process by which the dormant love for Krishna is awakened. So that is the definition of sadhana. And there are so many rules and regulations attached to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And the purpose of these is to engage our senses in Krishna's service just by the strength of the rule of the Shastra. So the principle is, one follows and doesn't question why. One remains off the mental platform about whether I should do this or whether I shouldn't do that. And then very quickly, some rag or spontaneity enters into the practice. One does this in the beginning just because he's told, but gradually and quickly, as I said, then one begins to develop affection for the deity, affection for the holy names, a taste for the Bhagavatam, a liking for flower garlands offered to the Lord, to the tulsi plant, etc., to going to Mangalarti, for associating with devotees, for hearing the pastimes of Krishna, and all the 64 angas of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And then gradually that spontaneity, by the association, especially important is the association of devotees who are increased in their spontaneous attachment, and then our spontaneous attachment to these activities increases more and more. But yet, this is still sadhana. So one must follow these rules and regulations, trying to achieve the sadhya of love of Krishna, the goal of love of Krishna. This is the goal of Krishna consciousness movement, that we become lovers of Krishna. And towards this end, Rupa Goswami is speaking. But the principle again of tat-tat karma pravartanat is to engage the senses in Krishna's service. And if we look at Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, that this is the basic thing that is going on. That the senses are being engaged on the strength of the rules and regulations of Shastra in Krishna's service. This is the basic principle of what is Sadhana Bhakti. Now, the next principle, and Prabhupada explains, the positive, and there are positive and negative things that must be done. One should follow the four regulative principles, which are things that one should not do. One should not eat meat, fish, or eggs. One should not take any intoxication whatsoever. One should not engage in any illicit sex, and one should not gamble. These things simply increase the material disease, so therefore one should avoid them. One must avoid them. If one is breaking these principles, no one can help him advance in spiritual life. So we must become determined not to go backwards, to only go forward. So on one hand, because these four principles anchor us to material life, they anchor us in the bodily concept of life, and the others engage us in Krishna service. So both cannot go on simultaneously. So one doesn't make advancement unless one strictly follows the four rules and then engages his senses in Krishna service. Tat tat karma pravartanam. Now, Prabhupada explains further. In order to be successful in devotional service, one must give up the association of undesirable people. This includes karmis, gyanis, yogis, and other non-devotees. Once, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by one of his household devotees about the general principles of Vaishnavism, as well as the general routine activities of the Vaishnava, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately replied, Asat Sangha Tyag E Vaishnava Char. Characteristically, a Vaishnava is one who gives up the association of worldly people or non-devotees. Srila Narottama Das Thakura has therefore recommended Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas. One has to live in the company of pure devotees and execute the regulative principles laid down by the previous acharyas, the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, and Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. If one lives in the association of devotees, there is little chance of associating with non-devotees. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is opening many centers just to invite people to live in the company of devotees and practice the regulative principles of spiritual life. So, while Krishna consciousness is catching, one can compare it to an infectious disease. But not only is Krishna consciousness catching, but the desire to become an expert photographer is catching, the desire to become famous is catching, the desire to become an actor, an actress, a writer, it's catching, the desire to become a singer, wealthy, handsome, computer fanatic, whatever or whoever we associate with, that particular chitta or mentality will infect our mentality. So therefore, if one wants to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, one has to very carefully avoid catching any other desires from materialists, and therefore the principle or the basic principles of a Vaishnava is he doesn't intimately associate with materialists because he doesn't want to catch their desires. And it's subtle. Just a little association, just like lava matra saru sange sava siddhi hoy, that all perfection can come from a moment's association with a Vaishnava, because in that moment he can place the desire within our heart. Yes, I want to become a devotee. Yes, I want to serve and love Sisi Radha and Krishna. There is nothing more wonderful than that. This I want. And that one moment of that idea being planted within our heart is guaranteed to lead us to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Sarva Siddhi Hoy. All perfection will come from that lava matra, which is what, 1/11th of a second, as long as the true contact has been made, that we've caught a minute particle of his desire to love Krishna, his lobe or greed to love Krishna. And this is the glory of association, that we can catch that desire as if someone had just sneezed into the air and we've breathed in those sneeze cold germs, and within a few days we'll be sneezing too. So that's on one side, the positive of association with devotees. And on the negative side is if we associate with siddhi kamis, jnani kamis, karma kandis, then the tendency, unless we are walled in our heart with no other desire except to love Krishna, we will also catch those desires. So therefore, the essence of a serious Vaishnava's behavior is that of Vaishnava Tyag. He gives up the association of non-devotees. This This is also Satovrite. What does Satovrite mean? Okay, I pointed this way. Yeah. This is what Mahaprabhu himself has said. This was Rupa Goswami's mood, Sanatana Goswami's mood, all the Goswami's mood, and following in their footsteps, we gradually traverse the path, associating with devotees and giving up the association of non-devotees. How? So we're ready to discuss Satovrite. Prabhupada explains the purpose of ISKCON, again, is to allow people to associate with devotees. Devotional service means transcendental activities. On the transcendental platform, there is no contamination by the three modes of material nature. This is called Vishuddha Sattva, the platform of pure goodness, or goodness freed from the contamination of the qualities of passion, ignorance, and goodness freed from the contamination of passion, ignorance, is not the goodness of this material world. The goodness of this material world can never be freed from passion and ignorance. There is a different quality of goodness called Shuddha Sattva or Vishuddha Sattva, of which the spiritual world is composed of. And this spiritual world has nothing at all to do with these three modes of material nature. Precisely, the spiritual world is defined in the negative sometimes as that place where there is no influence of the three modes of material nature. So this Sudha Sattva, Vishuddha Sattva, or pure goodness, has nothing to do with the three modes of material nature. And this is the platform on which all transcendental spiritual activities take place on. And here, Prabhupada begins to explain, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we require everyone to rise early in the morning. By 4 a.m., attend Mangal Arti or morning worship, then read Bhagavatam, perform Kirtan, and so forth. Thus, we hold continuous activities in devotional service 24 hours a day. This is called Sato Vritte, or following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas who expertly filled every moment of time with Krishna conscious activities 24 hours a day. They especially in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, and also Hari Bhakti Vilas, Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami have described how a Vaishnava can regulate his whole life. One thing after another thing, after another thing, after another thing, and thus be engaged 24 hours a day in remembering Krishna. Which is the purpose of tat-tat karma pravartana. The purpose is to be engaged in Krishna's service externally and internally, always remembering Krishna. So this, following the rules and regulations, is sato-vritte, following in the footsteps of the acharyas. Because these rules and regulations, they come from the acharyas. Therefore, Narottama Das has said in his song Gauranga Bolite Habe Kulaka Sari, that if one wants to attain the sadhya, or the goal of Krishna consciousness, which is to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, one has to do this and understand the path, not by his speculation, not by his whim or fancy, but through the literatures of the six Goswamis. And therefore, this Sato Vritte, or following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, is Tat Tat Karma Pravartana and Utsahan Nishtaya Daryat. All these activities are, these instructions are Sato Vritte, following in the footsteps. And actually, when one becomes a little advanced, one actually associates with these great Vaishnava charges, Prabhupada, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhusan, and Narottama Das Thakur. We can, by reading their literatures, we imbibe their mood, and we catch their greed for Krishna consciousness and their strength and determination for achieving that very sweet objective of love of Krishna. So 24 hours a day, this is the desire of the devotee, to be engaged 24 hours a day in Krishna's service. Now, the next section is interesting. If one strictly follows the advice given in this verse by Rupa Goswami, namely being enthusiastic, being confident, being patient, giving up the association of unwanted persons, following the regulative principles, and remaining in the association of devotees. So up to this time in the purport, all of them have been discussed briefly. One is sure, if one follows, to advance in devotional service. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that the cultivation of knowledge, so we were talking about Krishna anusilanam, the cultivation of Krishna consciousness and what to do to cultivate that. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is going to tell us what not to cultivate. The cultivation of knowledge by philosophical speculation, the cultivation of mundane opulence, by advancement of fruitive activities and the desire for yoga cities, material perfections, are all contrary to the principles of devotional service. One has to become thoroughly callous to such non-permanent activities and turn his intention instead to the regulative principles of devotional service. Now, in order to give up all one's mundane desires, everything karma, jnana, yoga. Karma means the desires for the grosser side of material enjoyments. Wealth, beauty, and all types of unlimited sense enjoyments. And then jnana, the freedom from all miseries, not by sense enjoyment, but through the absence of sense enjoyment. And yoga siddhis, siddhi kami, which means that one can do anything he wants in the material world. Very attractive. One can become as big as he likes. He can become as small as he likes. He can create anything he likes. He can do magic. He can control anyone's mind. He knows past, present, and future. It's like being like a little god. And everyone will worship you. Oh, please, I want to serve you. But their serving is motivated because they want what you have, your cities. But one can get these things to become powerful, achieve anything in this material world, even a planet. Kardama Muni created a big aerial palace city that could travel everywhere, full of all opulences. This is at a yogi's fingertips. Unlimited travel. Prapta city. But Prapta city, what does that mean? Right, you can get anything you want. Prabhupada said that once he met a man who his guru asked him, not Prabhupada, but the man Prabhupada was talking to, what would you like to eat? What fruit would you like to eat? And the man said, pomegranates from the Himalayas. And of course they were out of season in Calcutta or wherever he was. And he said, all right, you look in that room there. And there they were when he opened the door. That's Prapti Siddhi. But it's not that, as Sataputta explained, it's not that one gets an unlimitedly long stretchable arm, like a big rubber arm that he can go all the way to the Himalayas and then roll it back in again. It's not like that, but it's siddhi, it's yogic. One learns how to transcend space and time. And has access to all different spaces and different times by this siddhi. So these things are very attractive, but they're contrary to devotional service because one makes you powerful and the other makes you dependent. Devotional service and the gopis as the highest standard of devotional service was simply dependent on Krishna's pleasure. Their standard of excellence was their dependence on Krishna. Now, to give up everything and fully depend on Krishna in this way, what does it need? It needs nischayad, a lot of nischayad. What does nischayad mean? Confidence. You have to have full confidence in Krishna and the practices of devotional service. And if you have that confidence, that you know that by, even though one may be at the beginning stages and just following the rules and regulations just because Shastra says so, with that confidence, that gives birth to patience and utsahan, enthusiasm. So confidence is so important. Another word for confidence is shraddha, or faith, or nishta, one's support or one's fixedness. This is one's faith, one's confidence. Engagement In devotional service of the Lord is the life and soul of the living entity. Just see what these words mean. They are the life and soul of the living entity. This is the true nature of the living entity, his be-all, his end-all, his everything. It is the desired goal and supreme perfection of human life. One has to become confident about this. And also, one also has to be confident that all activities other than devotional service, such as mental speculation, fruitive activity, or mystic endeavor, will never yield any enduring benefit. They will not satisfy the heart until we have complete confidence that there is no happiness in material activities. We cannot actually strongly take to devotional service. So we should examine our consciousness and see what is there that we are holding back, what's holding us back from fully surrendering to Krishna, from fully taking up devotional service. What do we want in this material world? What do we think? What are we trading Krishna for? Of course, it's not so easy, because sometimes we, in great happiness and momentary faith, we say, I only want Krishna, I don't want anything else. But I mean, what is situated in our heart deeply that we actually want? Do we want to become great, famous, powerful, for everyone else to acknowledge who we really are, finally recognize our true greatness and worship us? What is it that we want? But we should know that nothing other than love of Krishna, prema bhakti specifically, will fully satisfy the soul. Yayatma subahaitukhiya pratiyata, yayatma supasidati. Savai punksam parodamo. That religion is topmost for a person. Yatya bhaktiya ahokshaja. That is devotional service to the Lord, ahokshaja. That service must be practiced ahaitukhiya pratiyata, without any motivation of karma jnana, anya vilasita sunyam again. And it must be continuous, yayatma supasidati, to bring satisfaction to me, the soul. One in the seventh canto, and other paths will only make us restless. Restless means unsatisfied. Satisfied atmaram, self-satisfied. In the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, it is stated that one must be calmly convinced that those who have given up devotional service to engage in severe austerities for other purposes are not purified in their minds, despite their advanced austerities, because they have no information of the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Further in the seventh canto, although mental speculators and fruitive actors may perform great austerities and penances, they still fall down because they do not have information about the lotus feet of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord, however, never fall down because they're satisfied in their position. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead assures Arjuna, Kaunteya Pratijani hi name bhakta panakshuti. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. So this is the situation that can ultimately satisfy us, bring us what we need. This is the position of security. So therefore, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on the path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So here, in this purport right here, Prabhupada is trying to explain Krishna consciousness to us, preaching strongly so that we get confidence in the path. And with this confidence, we can proceed with enthusiasm and patience to follow the rules and regulations, and in the footsteps of the previous acharya, and giving up the association of non-devotees. This confidence is essential. Where then does this confidence or faith come from? How to increase our confidence and faith?
Practically following the process and experiencing the
results. Knowledge. Knowledge makes it very firm and strong. That's actually the best way. Knowledge and realization, and all these come from the association of devotees. So this is the essence, the association of devotees. So in this endeavor there is no loss of diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So the idea is that we should get confidence that this is the only thing worth achieving. Even if we don't succeed completely and fully, still we should try our best to succeed, because this will protect us from the greatest type of fear. What are some examples of people who have been protected by their advancement from little advancement or a lot of advancement? Prahlad Maharaj, protected definitely by a lot of advancement. Other examples? Ajamil. What happened? Yeah. Called out the name Narayan! And remembered, according to some of the acharyas, his previous training and his worship of Narayan, and immediately the Vishnudutas came and stopped the Yamadutas from dragging from his body. Others? Any other examples? Maharaj Prakrit, yeah. Yeah. Saved directly by Krishna within the heart. Chris? Gajendra, from a previous life, offering prayers. Chitraketu, he even took, Mitrasura, he even took birth as a demon and was saved and was safe, because even though inconceivably enough he was extremely Krishna conscious, well, in the body of a demon, that's how potent Krishna consciousness is. So whatever birth one gets, once Krishna consciousness is secure, it is never lost. And one can make advancement from that point. Listen to this line. Devotional service is so pure and perfect that once having begun, one is forcibly dragged to ultimate success. Sometimes a person will give up his ordinary material engagements and out of sentiment take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and thus begin the preliminary execution of devotional service. Even if such an immature devotee falls down, there is no loss on his part. On the other hand, what is gained of one who executes the prescribed duties according to his vana and ashrama, but does not take to devotional service? What to speak of what is gained when one neglects the duties of vana ashrama and engages in sinful activities just meant for his sense gratification? Sinful and all other unprescribed duties meant for a sense gratification. What's gained? What is gained is ultimately, in the very short run, great misery. That is the gain, only trouble. Punas puna charvati charvadananam. So, although a fallen devotee may take his next birth in a loved family, he will nevertheless resume where he left off. Devotional service is ahaituki apatiyata. It is not an effect of any mundane cause, nor can it be terminated by any mundane cause or permanently curtailed by any material interruption. Whatever one has in devotional service, that and that alone is truly his. So hold tight to whatever advancement one has made due to his strong effort, his good luck, or whatever it is, one should know, see it simply as Krishna's mercy. It's causeless. And one should hold tight to it and try to increase it. Therefore, a devotee should be confident about his engagement and should not be very interested in the activities of karmis, gyanis, and yogis. So all this, this whole section so far, really has been talking about confidence. Confidence again means shraddha or vishvas, faith. There are certainly many good qualities amongst fruitive actors, fruitive philosophical speculators and mystic yogis, but all good qualities automatically develop in the character of a devotee. So Prabhupada is explaining in such a way that we just stick to the path of devotional service. Although one can attain many things from the practice of karma, jnana, yoga, but those things will also be obtained without any extraneous effort if one practices bhakti. Because a devotee is not situated in any material activity, interested in any material activity, he does not become materially contaminated. He is immediately situated on the platform of transcendental life. So when one is not at all interested in any material activity, instantaneously he is on the Brahma platform. So we should aspire to increase our spiritual desires, especially to develop our taste and attachment to Krishna and Krishna's name, Krishna's form, and Krishna's pastimes. This is the great endeavor of a devotee. How can I increase my taste for Krishna? And then Krishna, Surya, Sam, Maya, Haya, Andhakar, these lesser tastes will dissipate like the darkness dissipates in the presence of the sunlight, even before the sun has risen. The abhas, or just before the sun arises, semblance, the darkness dissipates. All these things, all problems will be gone if we simply increase our attachment to Krishna. Mahatma, again, Prabhupada is quoting Mahapanas Tumam Parta. The devotee is placed under the shelter, that quality of devotee especially, is placed under the shelter of Krishna's supreme potency. They should not deviate from the path of devotional service and take to the path of karma, jnana, yoga. This is called utsahan nishtyadarya tattat karma pravartana. Enthusiastically executing the regulative activities of devotional service with patience and confidence. In this way, one can advance in devotional service without hindrance. Notice that one of the six was left out, and that was in that last line, which is almost a summary of the whole verse, and that was Sangha Tyaga. Because that is not positive. One has to give up the association of non-devotees, but that alone is powerful enough to spoil everything. That association, intimate association with non-devotees, is powerful enough to spoil everything. So devotees should be wary of it, extremely wary. Okay, now, any comments or questions? We finish that verse, yeah.
But what things would be... What cities would be offered to a devotee?
Every city.
Every
devotee, a pure devotee, has every mystic opulence. Just like, looking at it in the simplest way, Ambarish Maharaj.
That's not my question. What city would be offered to lure a devotee away from
you? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand. All of them, same. Karma, jnana, yoga, all is offered. But the devotee, Maya comes and offers everything. Just like the story of Vilamanga Thakur. That, there's no time to tell the whole story, but when he was living in Vrindavan, he lived for 500 years or 700 years in Vrindavan, and he was blind, and he caught hold of Krishna's feet. And he had Krishna, he had caught Krishna practically. But Mukti came to him and said, "What can I do for you?" And he has one famous verse that says, paraphrased, that the Mukti lady is standing there with folded arms saying, "What can I do for you?" And I say, "Go away. What need is there for Mukti when Krishna himself comes to bring you milk?" So Mukti comes and offers himself to herself to the Lord. All the mystic cities offer themselves to the devotee, not the Lord, the devotee. All karma, all sense gratification is offered to the devotee. All liberation is offered to the devotee, including living on the same planet as the Lord, taking on, having all the Lord's opulences, becoming an intimate associate of the Lord. All these things Krishna comes and offers to the devotee. Whatever you want, become a demigod. The devotee has to learn the right answer when they come. "No, no, 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 no. I'm only interested in one thing. I'm not doing business. I'm doing service for Krishna's seva. I'm not doing business. I don't want anything. I just want the pleasure of Krishna."